فقلت عليك السلام. قال يا فاطمة إني أشم عندك رائحة طيبة. السلام عليك يا فاطمة. فقلت عليك السلام. قال إني أجد في بدني ضعفا. فقلت له أعوذك بالله يا أبتاه من الضعف. فقال يا فاطمة ائتيني بالكساء اليماني فغطيني به. فأتيته بالكساء اليماني فغطيته به وصرت أنظره إذا وجهه يتلا لو كأنه البدر في ليلة تمامه وكماله. فما كانت إلا ساعة وإذا بالولد الحسن عليه السلام قد أقبل وقال السلام عليك يا أمه. فقلت عليك السلام يا قرة عيني وثمرة فؤادي. فقال يا أمه إني أشم عندك رائحة طيبة كأنها رائحة جدي رسول الله. فقلت نعم إن جدك تحت الكساء. فأقبل الحسن عليه السلام نحو الكساء وقال السلام عليك يا جداه السلام عليك يا رسول الله. أتأذن لي أن أدخل معك تحت الكساء؟ فقال وعليك السلام يا ولدي ويا صاحب حوزي قد أذنت لك. فدخل معه تحت الكساء. فما كانت إلا ساعة وإذا ولد الحسين عليه السلام قد أقبل وقال السلام عليك يا أمه. فقلت وعليك السلام يا ولدي ويا قرة عيني وثمرة فؤادي. فقال لي يا أمه إني أشم عندك رائحة طيبة كأنها رائحة جدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله. فقلت نعم إن جدك وأخاك تحت الكساء. فنال الحسين عليه السلام نحو الكساء وقال السلام عليك يا جداه السلام عليك من اختاره الله. أتأذن لي أن أكون معكم تحت الكساء؟ فقال وعليك السلام يا ولدي ويا شافع أمتي قد أذنت لك. فدخل معهما تحت الكساء. فأقبل عند ذلك أبو الحسن علي ابن أبي طالب عليه السلام وقال السلام عليك يا بنت رسول الله. فقلت وعليك السلام يا أبا الحسن ويا أمير المؤمنين. فقال يا فاطمة إني أشم عندك رائحة طيبة كأنها رائحة أخي وابن أمي رسول الله. فقلت نعم ها هو ما ولديك تحت الكساء. فأقبل علي عليه السلام نحو الكساء وقال السلام عليك يا رسول الله. أتأذن لي أن أكون معكم تحت الكساء؟ قال له وعليك السلام يا أخي ويا وصي وخليفتي وصاحب لوائي قد أذنت لك. دخل علي عليه السلام تحت الكساء. ثم أتيت نحو الكساء وقلت السلام عليك يا أبتاه يا رسول الله. أتأذن لي أن أكون معكم تحت الكساء؟ وقال وعليك السلام يا بنتي ويا بزتي قد أذنت لك. فدخلت تحت الكساء. فلما اكتملنا جميعا تحت الكساء أخذ أبي رسول الله بطرف الكساء وأومى بيده اليمنى للسماء وقال اللهم إن هؤلاء أهل بيتي وخاصتي وحامتي لحمهم لحمي ودمهم دمي يؤلمني ما يؤلمهم ويحزنني ما يحزنهم. أنا حرب لمن حاربهم وسلم لمن سالمهم وعدو لمن عادهم وحب لمن أحبهم إنهم مني وأنا منهم. فجل صلواتك وبركاتك ورحمتك وغفرانك ورزوانك علي وعليهم وأذهب عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. فقال الله عز وجل يا ملائكتي ويا سكان سماواتي إني ما خلقت سماء مبنية ولا أرضا مدحية ولا قمرا منيرا ولا شمسا مضيئة ولا فلكا يدور ولا بحرا يجري ولا فلكا يسري إلا في محبتها ولا الخمسة الذين هم تحت الكساء. فقال الأمين وجبريل يا رب ومن تحت الكساء؟ فقال الله عز وجل هم أهل بيت النبوة وهم آدن الرسالة هم فاطمة وأبوها وبعلها وبنوها. فقال جبريل يا رب أتأذن لي أن أهبط إلى الأرض ليكون معهم سادسا؟ فقال الله نعم قد أذنت لك. فهبط الأمين جبريل وقال السلام عليك يا رسول الله العلي الأعلى يقرأك السلام ويخصك بالتحية والإكرام ويقول لك بعزتي وجلالي إني ما خلقت سماء مبنية ولا أرضا مرهية ولا قمرا منيرا ولا شمسا مضيئة ولا فلكا يدور ولا بحرا يجري ولا فلكا يسري إلا لأجلكم ومحبتكم وقد أذن لي أن أدخل معكم فهل تأذن لي يا رسول الله؟ فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله السلام يا أمين وحي الله إنه نام قد أذنت لك. فدخل جبريل معنا تحت الكساء فقال لأبي أن الله قد أوحى إليكم يقول إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم رجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا. وقال علي بن السلام لي يا رسول الله اخبرني ما لجلوسنا هذا تحت الكساء من الفضل عند الله فقال النبي والذي بعثني بالحق نبيا واصطفاني برساله نجيه ما ذكر خبرنا هذا في محفل من محافل اهل الارض وفيه جمع من شيطان ومحبينا الا ونزلت عليهم الرحمه وحفت بهم الملائكه واستغفرت لهم ولن يتفرقوا فقال علي بن السلام اذن والله فزنا وفاز شيطان ورب الكعبه فقال النبي ثانيا يا علي والذي بعثني بالحق نبيا واصطفاني برساله نجيه ما ذكر خبرنا هذا في محفل من محافل اهل الارض وفيه جمع من شيطان ومحبينا وفيهم مهموم الا فرج الله همه ولا مغموم الا كشف الله غمه ولا طالب حاجه الا قضى الله حاجته فقال علي بن السلام اذن والله فزنا وسعدنا وكذلك شيعتنا فازوا وسعدوا في الدنيا والاخره ورب الكعبه اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد الهي بحق محمد انت المحمود وبحق علي انت الاعلى وبحق فاطمه انت فاطر السماوات والارض وبحق الحسن انت المحسن وبحق الحسين انت قدي المحسن وبحق بعثة المعصومين من ذريه الحسن عليه السلام الهي فاقبل اقبل ثنائي يا حاجاتي يا الله برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين
صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
کہتی تھی یہی زینب دکھیا میرے بی رنوا مجرا لو میرا کچھ بات کرو میں تو پفدا کچھ بات کرو میں تو پفدا میرے بی رنوا مجرا لو میرا کہتی
تھی
میں کوک جلی ماں جائی ہوں ہمشیر تمہاری بھائی ہوں زندان سے چھٹ کر آئی ہوں زندان سے چھٹ کر آئی ہوں میرے بی رنوا مجرا لو میرا کہتی تھی نکلی تھی وطن سے جب میں آخی تم ساتھ تھے اور کنبا تھا سبھی اب کوئی نہیں تنہا ہوں چلی اب کوئی نہیں تنہا ہوں چلی میرے بی رنوا مجرا لو میرا کہتی تھی اکبر بھی نہیں عباس نہیں قاسم صاحبتی جا پاس نہیں اب مجھ کو کسی کی آس پاس نہیں اب مجھ کو کسی کی آس نہیں میرے بھی رنوا مجرا لو میرا کہتی تھی یہی زندہ میں گئی دربار گئی سرنگے سرے بازار گئی بنتے رزلی لو خار گئی بنتے رزلی لو خار گئی میرے بھی رنوا مجرا لو میرا کہتی تھی یہی پوچھے گی اگر مجھ سے صغرا ہے باپ پھوپی کس جان میرا کیا اسے کہوں بولو بھیا کیا اسے کہوں بولو بھیا میرے بھی رنوا مجرا لو میرا کہتی تھی یہی زینب دکھیا میرے بھی رنوا مجرا لو میرا صلوات
اللہم صلی علی محمد
غیث سے چھٹ کے آئی ہے زینب صدمے دل پر اٹھائی ہے زینب خبر شے کی بنائی ہے زینب کچھ یتیموں کو لا ہے زینب کہتی ہے رو کہ لو قبر بھائی ختم اب ہو گیا سفر بھائی میں ہوں زینب فلک کی ستائی ہوں تم سے ملنے یہاں میں آئی ہوں اور لوٹے خافلے کو لائی ہوں بھائی کیا کیا ستم اٹھائی ہوں شام تک ننگے سر گئی زینب کیوں نہ پہلے ہی مر گئی زینب اٹھ کے دیکھو تو ایک نظر بھائی ٹکڑے صدموں سے ہے جگر بھائی ہو گیا ہے سفید سر بھائی جھک گئی ہے میری کمر بھائی وعدہ پورا میں کر کے آئی ہوں پشت پر تازیہ نکھا ہوں سارے کنبے کو ساتھ لائی تھی محنتوں سے یہ گھر بسائی تھی میں نے دولت یہ ماں سے پائی تھی ہو گئی دفن جو کمائی تھی اب ہو کیوں کر میری بسر بھائی ہائے کس منہ سے جا ہائے کس منہ سے جا ہائے کس منہ سے جا ہوں گھر
بھائی
تھی مقدر میں میرے رسوائی کیوں نہ دربار ہی میں موت آئی پیش حاکم گئی یہ دکھ پائی غصہ آیا تھا پی گئی بھائی جو ہوئے ظلم سہ گئی زینب سب کے رونے کو رہ سب کے رونے سب کے رونے کو رہ گئی زینب اب نہ اٹھ کے یہاں سے جاؤں گی قبر بالوں سے اپنے جھاڑوں گی پھول ہر صبح ہمیں چڑھاؤں گی شمع راتوں کو میں جلاؤں گی یوں ہی ہو جائے گی بسر بھائی کیا کرے جی کے نو کیا کرے جی کے نو کیا کرے جی کے نو اگر بھائی گر کوئی پوچھے کس کی جائی ہے قبر کس کی یہ تو بنائی ہے مجھ کو قسمت کہوں گلائی ہے میں بہن ہوں یہ میرا بھائی ہے ہم نبی کے ہیں گود کے پالے اور مسلمان ہے ماں اور مسلمان ہے ماں اور مسلمان ہے ماں رنے والے کیا بتاؤں شہید کی حالت تن تھا زخمی تھی دھوپ کی حدت اور نمازی پہ پیاس کی شدت سر اٹھانے کی بھی نہ دی مہلت دفن اس جا ہے نامور بھائی دے دیا راہ ہے دے دیا راہ دے دیا راہ میں سر بھائی
فاتحہ
مومنین آپ سے گزارش ہے کہ جتنا آگے ہو سکے آ جائیے پیپل ان شاء اللہ کمنگ جوائنگ ان سون جسٹ اے کوئک ریمائنڈر ان شاء اللہ ٹمارروز مجلس ول بی ایٹ 7:30 پی ایم منڈے نائٹ ڈسمبر 31st وی آلسو ہیو اے کیمپ اسٹارٹنگ ٹمارو نائٹ آفٹر مجلس ایٹ 10:30 پی ایم وی ٹو سیشنز فرسٹ سیشن ٹمارو نائٹ فرام 10:30 ٹو اراؤنڈ 12:30 اور 1 اینڈ دی ٹاپک از پیرنٹنگ ریزنگ چلڈرن ان امیرکا is for both obviously our parents as well as our young adults tomorrow night and then the next day morning which is January 1st the program will start right after we'll have brunch in the morning around 10:30 or so and then right after Zohar we'll have a program session 2 and the topic for that is identity as a Shia Muslim in America Both topics are excellent, very practical, and Maulana will be addressing both. We will have live, actually, skits, funny skits for our youth, and they can learn from it, and also case scenarios we'll discuss. It will be interactive sessions, very beneficial. So please join us tomorrow night, 10:30 p.m., as well as next day. And so her prayers. Salawat.
صلي على محمد وعلى محمد
Please recite Surat al-Fatiha for the following marhumeen: Sheikh Ahmad Ali, Sardar Begum, Sheikh Zafar Ali, Sardar Begum, Sheikh Muhammad Ali, Mumtaz Begum, Inayat Fatima, Sheikh Muhammad Yasin, Mr. and Mrs. Mohsin Ali, Mr. and Mrs. Mubarak Ali, Mr. and Mrs. Barkat Ali, Mr. Qalbi Abbas Naqvi, Mr. Tawheed Abbas Naqvi, Qasim and Ahad Muzaffar, Marhum Noor Muhammad, Marhuma Sughra Bhai, Marhuma Muhammad Ali, Marhuma Kulsoom Bhai, Marhuma Muhammad Hussain, Marhuma Khairun Nisa Muhammad Ali, Marhum Ghulam Abbas, Marhuma Sughra Bhai. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه صلوات Islam, the religion of love, and in these majalis I would like to talk about the alaim and some of the signs of the love If there is a single word which serves as the summary of the entire religion Islam, if we can summarize our beautiful religion in a nutshell, the only word which can summarize it in totality is the word of love. And this is something which is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam frequently, that the hadith says, Haliddinu illal hub. Is the religion anything other than hub? So our religion is nothing but the love. Loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loving the Prophet, loving the Ahlul Bayt, which actually, as a matter of fact, loving these greatest personalities is equal to loving Allah. Loving them is loving Allah, and loving Allah is loving them. Because they are the most perfect mazhar and reflection of every single name and every single attribute, al-asma'ul husna and sifatul jalali wa sifatul jamal, the beautiful names of Allah and the attributes of beauty and the attributes of majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the 73 isme a'zam, greatest names of Allah, 72 of which are known to only the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and 73rd is what our urafa say is al-ismul maknoon, al-ismul mustasarul ilahi, the hidden name which no one knows. And that's the difference between the Khaliq and the Makhluq, the creator and the creation. But having said that the knowledge of the 73rd is not known by anyone, including the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, but our urafa say that they are reflecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even about the 73rd name that they do not know. So the statement of a person that the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are the most perfect madhar and reflection of all the names of Allah is perfectly true. And there is no one else who can reflect Allah in all the names. And we find the religion Islam, if we love the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, which equals to loving Allah, and we love Allah, which is equal to loving them. Because whoever recognizes Allah, recognizes through the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. And whoever did not recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, didn't have the ma'rifat and in-depth recognition of Allah, is precisely because of the fact that he failed to have tamassuk, failed to have the tawassul, fails to have the wasila of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam for recognition and ma'rifat of Allah. In Dhukir al-Khair, don't we say, in Dhukir al-Khair, kuntum awwalahu wa as-akhirahu wa aslahu wa far'ahu wa ma'dinahu wa ma'wahu wa muntahahu. Whenever khair and goodness is mentioned, you are the beginning of every khair, addressing to the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. And you are the end of every khair. And you are the ma'din and the mineral of every khair. And you are the ma'wa and the refuge of every khair. And you are the end of every khair. And you are the peak and climax of every khair. And didn't Imam Sadiq alayhi salam say, Lawlallah ma urifna, had it not been for us, Allah would have not been recognized. So if we were not there, what Imam is saying is this. If we were not there, Allah would not have been recognized. That means no one would have the ma'rifat of Allah. And walaula nahnu ما اور لولا اللہ ما عرفنا ولولا نحن ما عرف اللہ. And if Allah was not there, nobody would have our marifat. And if we were not there, nobody would have Allah's marifat. Please say salawat. These are the personalities. And one of the alaim and signs that we would like to discuss in these majalis, the signs of love, so we can distinguish whether we are falling in the category of the lovers of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. For every haqiqat and reality, there are signs, which we call alaim, the signs. And this is what I would like to mention, some of the signs in these signs of love in these speeches, inshallah. And one of the signs of love that I want to discuss today is ikhlas. Ikhlas and sincerity. This is one of the signs of anyone who loves the Prophet and who loves the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, is bound to be mukhlis towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mukhlis in his behaviors. So Huzaifat ibn al-Yaman, rahmatullahi alayh, one of the very respectable ashab and companions, he asked Rasulullah, he says, the riwayat says, that Sa'altu Rasulullah anil ikhlas. I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about ikhlas. And Rasulullah said to me, Sa'altuhu an Jibra'il. I asked about it from Jibra'il. And Jibra'il said, Sa'altuhu anillah. I asked about that from Allah. And Allah said, Sirrun min sirri. That means ikhlas is a secret from my secrets. Udi'uhu fi qalbi man ahbabtuhu. That I am going to deposit this into the soul of the one I love. So we find the one who is mahbub and beloved of Allah is the only person who will end up having this secret among the secrets of Allah, which is called the ikhlas. So one of the alaim and signs of a person being beloved in the eyes of Allah is that he has to be mukhlis. Obviously, ikhlas itself is an elaborate concept of Islam. There are darajat. Like any other concept of Islam, taqwa has darajat, zuhd has darajat, wara has darajat, ma'rifat has darajat, taharatul qalb has darajat, tazkiyatul nafs have darajat, iman has darajat, isn't it right? Whole bunch of our concepts are not just one standard thing, there are so many levels to cross. So that's obviously, it has its own darajat, and the finer level is one when a person becomes mukhlas with the zabar and fatha on top of the lam. There's a difference between mukhlis and a mukhlas person. So we find that the najat and salvation in the Holy Quran from the deceptions of shaitan is not for those who are mukhlis towards Allah. Instead, Quran is clear about the policy. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, talking about shaitan, that shaitan said to Allah, فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I swear to your dignity, I am certainly going to mislead all of them. لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ has two taqeed. One is the lam and second is the noon al-mushaddada. I am certainly going to mislead all of them. This Quran, it cannot lie. Isn't it right? So Satan, Shaitan, is a sworn enemy of the humankind. And it is bound to mislead everyone. Except, what does he mention in the Quran? It says, إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Except those servants of yours who are mukhlas. So we can understand very, very clearly that the only way and only path of salvation is that we make sure that we fall in the category of mukhlasin, not mukhlisin. So when we find that Holy Prophet is mentioning the alamat, you know, of ikhlas, There's a beautiful narration, although every narration is equally beautiful. And Prophet says to Imam Ali alayhi salam, Ya Ali, lil mukhlisi salasu alamat. A mukhlis, oh Ali, a mukhlis has three signs. And then Imam Prophet says to Imam Ali alayhi salam, talking about the signs of a mukhlis and sincere person, Bughdul mal, he hates the money. Bughdul dunya, he hates dunya. Bughdul ma'siya, he hates the sin. We keep on saying about each other, isn't it right? This brother is so mukhlis. Now this mu'min is so mukhlis. I know him since long, isn't it right? Let's ask the Holy Prophet who he considers to be mukhlis. Whom does Ahlul Bayt consider to be mukhlis? A mukhlis person is the person who hates the money. Bughdul mal. Prophet says, whom the idol worshippers of Makkah, burning their daughters alive, used to call him Sadiq and Amin, the truth teller and the trustworthy. Isn't it right? Statement of the Holy Prophet is like a mark on the stone. No power on earth can undo it. If we disbelieve, we are losers. His statements can never turn into a lie. It's the final word. So Prophet says that Bughdul mal, sign number one of a mukhlis person, he hates money. Isn't it right? And then he says Bughdul dunya, he hates dunya. And Bughdul ma'siya, he hates sin. So we find our Urufa when they come to Ikhlas, the statements of Urufa are always interesting and very, very simple. Isn't it right? And those moments that you spend in your life in next to some great arif who has the ma'rifat of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. Who has the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who doesn't have those hijabat and curtains of sins on his soul. Isn't it right? So they see the realities. Those moments are the most precious moments of your life. One of the most precious moments. So we find our Urufa define ikhlas in their own words. In the simplest possible description is as follows. They say, remove the khalq aside. Removal of the creatures. Remove all the creatures aside. This is what is how we define ikhlas. Ikhlas means removal of the creatures from the middle. So you consider there is no one there other than Allah. And as a matter of fact, there is no one there other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that right? Because كان الله ولم يكن معه شيء. Allah was there and there wasn't nothing with him. والآن كما كان. That's what our philosophers say. And today is exactly how it was. So even today it stands, it holds, it's true. There is only Allah who is there in the real, real sense. We are nobody, we are nothing. Isn't it right? Every single moment of our life, there has to be irada and will of Allah to be there for our very existence and survival. If one fraction of a second His will does not survive, nothing in the universe would sustain. So actually in the real sense is He who is there, not us. It's a matter of understanding, isn't it right? Imam Ali al-Salam was like this. He said, مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْهًا وَإِلَّا وَرَأَيْتُ اللَّهَ قَبْلَهُ وَبَعْدَهُ وَمَعَهُ وَفِيهِ. I haven't seen a thing except that I have seen Allah before seeing that thing and after seeing that thing, وَمَعَهُ, and along with that thing, وَفِيهِ, and in that thing. Please say salawat. So it is true to say that all Imam Ali saw in his life is nothing but Allah. It's true to say that. Isn't it right? That's the kind of our leaders are. All they used to see and focus in their life is Allah. Nothing else. So we find that that ikhlas is defined as removal of the khalq from the middle. Just keep them aside as if they are not even there. And sidq is defined by our Urufa is removal of yourself and your ibadat and ita'at. Stop paying attention to your own ego and self. and remove all the ita'at and worships and obedience that you have done. Stop focusing and considering them to be big and great. Keep them aside and focus only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what is called sidq. This is a very high level, but that's not the subject of my discussion to talk about sadiqeen. So now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now placing the first mukhlis person on earth, isn't it right? Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifatan. The first mukhlis person who is the khalifa of Allah is now placed on earth. So, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see, when Allah is announcing his khilafat, the angels started to object. And what the angels said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see, this is the ayatul istikhlaf. When Allah in Quran talks about making and placing a khalifa, a vicegerent on earth, this ayat of Quran that talks about the khalifa of Allah, in ilm al-tafsir we call it ayatul istikhlaf of Allah. And my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafadahullah was saying in his tafsir, if someone says that the entire Quran has been revealed to do the tafsir of that one ayat of Quran, which is the ayatul istikhlaf, this person hasn't said anything wrong. So as a matter of fact, we learn from our greatest mufassireen that the whole Quran is actually a tafsir of the ayatul istikhlaf. So how important an event it is. There is no event more important than that. Isn't it right? So we got to understand the biggest event in the history of humanity. That's where everything else is doing the interpretation of that event in Quran. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making his khalifa. But what the angels did, isn't it right? Angels said something which is against the concept of sidq. Just like I defined moments ago, the definition of sidq in the eyes of Urufa, removing your own self from your focus of attention. Don't pay attention to yourself at all and your ita'at and ibadat, your obediences and worships. Don't focus on that. Just focus on Allah. Don't consider your obedience to be big. Every obedience you perform is because of the ni'mat of Allah. Let's not focus on our obediences and consider them to be big. Let's keep on having our focus on Allah because of whose ni'mat we are performing these ibadat. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. This is called sidq. That's how. Angels said something which is against the concept. Instead, what they did is that they held a value, our mufassireen say, they held a value for their ibadat. So they replied to Allah that أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Isn't it right? Are you making in earth, in other words, somebody who's going to, you know, spread mischief and fasad on earth. And yasfikud diman, going to shed the blood. Whereas we are the ones who glorify your praise. We do your tasbih, wa nuqaddisu laka, and do your taqdis. Isn't it right? So now what the angels are trying to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of his policy of making a khalifa, the angels are trying to say that we are doing your ibadat, and they are holding a value for their ita'at and obedience. This is contrary to the level of sidq. Allah disliked this statement. Allah doesn't agree with that statement. Isn't it right? So now Allah wanted that the value of their ibadat is removed from their eyes. They get to learn the fact that you are not supposed to hold value for your own worships and ibadat. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of a scholar say in tafsir, Allah says to them, Usjudu li Adama. Do sajda towards Adam. Now they would end up realizing that who are we and what is the value of us and our ibadat. Then despite our whole level and status, and despite all the worships that we perform, we are still, the value is this, that we are still supposed to do sajda in front of someone else. So that someone is superior in his value than us. Isn't it right? This is going to remove the value of their own ibadat from their eyes. Usjudu li Adama. how we find, obviously, Adam alayhi salam was just the qibla of the sajda. In Islam, we don't do sajda towards non-Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? It's not allowed to do sajda for ibadat. Sajda for ibadat is not done for anyone other than Allah. That's like ruku. We don't bend for anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? So ruku and sajda are for Allah only. Yeah, some people, you know, when they are doing the ziyarat, they just bend almost equal to the magnitude of ruku. And I always say to these people, don't bend that much. What is narrated in the hadithun of, you know, by Muhaddis Qummi, that Imam Rida alayhi salam, when he heard the name of Al-Qa'im, which was there in the Qasida of Di'bal Al-Khuza'i, Imam Rida alayhi salam stood up and he put his palm of the right hand over his head. This is what is narrated in the hadith. Instead of we bending ourselves that much, that equals to ruku. Ruku and sajda is only specific for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please say salawat. Let's go by the principles. So Adam was the qibla of the sajda. Isn't it right? Not the maqsood, not the goal of the sajda. The goal of sajda is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says that kana lillahi ubudiyatan wa ta'zeeman wa ikraman lana. That sajda was ubudiyat of Allah and ta'zeem and ikram, holding the azmat of Ahlul Bayt and giving the respect for the sake of holding the azmat and greatness of Ahlul Bayt and holding respect for the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. The angels must realize that they have to bow down and do sajda in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do His obedience. Isn't it right? And not consider their own ita'at or hold any value for their ita'at. And remember in their minds there's somebody bigger than, you know, than them who is present, whose noor is present in the sulb of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, which is the noor of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, who are reflecting Allah to his fullest. And they deserve that everyone else show their respect and hold the azmat of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. They are the most perfect Khalifa of Allah. Isn't it right? So we find that all the ma'ajiz, all the mu'jizat, all the miracles of all the prophets are because of the barakat of the noor of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Isn't it right? Whatever they did, even the blessings that the prophets received from Allah, our Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam were serving as a wasitatul faiz, a means of transferring the blessings of Allah through our Prophet and Ahlul Bayt's noor towards the rest of the prophets of God. So our Prophet and Ahlul Bayt is serving them as a means. They are superior than all the prophets. So we find that la yusawwa bi ali Muhammadin ahadum min al khalq. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, none of the creatures can be parallel to Ali Muhammad. وَلَا يُسَوَّ لَا يُقَاسُ بِآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْخَلْقِ. That's the hadith. No one can be compared. None of the creatures can be compared to Ali Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. وَلَا يُسَوَّ بِهِمْ مَنْ جَرَتْ نِعْمَتُهُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَبَدًا. And whomsoever receives ni'mat through them cannot be held parallel to Ahlul Bayt. And everybody received ni'mat of Allah through them. Even the prophets received ni'mat of Allah through them. So whomsoever receives the ni'mat of Allah through the noor of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, that someone does not deserve to be held parallel to the highness of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. This is how high they are. So we are proud to have these personality. All the Anbiya did their mu'jizat and miracles because of the lutf and barakat of wasatatul faiz of this noor of Ahlul Bayt. Remember in the time of Mansur al-Dawaniqi, la'natullahi alayh, when he called those magicians from the city of Babul, Iraq, which was famous for magic for years and centuries. Isn't it right? And the whole purpose of these, evil people. They had a pattern of behavior. These Banu Umayya and Banu Abbas, la'natullahi alayhim, had a pattern of behavior to insult our Ahlul Bayt. So he invites forcibly. Our Imams never used to, you know, bother to even go or see these people. Isn't it right? They were forcibly invited into the Darbar. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was forcibly invited by Mansur al-Dawanikri, la'natullahi alayhi, who later poisons the Imam. And he has invited these magicians who are sitting in the Darbar on their places and positions, and they made pictures of various wild animals next to them. When Imam Sadiq alayhi salam enters into the gathering, he had a look and he said, "Woe to you, do you know who I am? I am the one who cancelled the magic of your ancestors in the time of Musa alayhi salam." Please say salawat. Then our sixth Imam asked those paintings or those pictures of animals, do you know, to become alive and grab each of these magicians. And as soon as my Mawla says that, those pictures are personified. They become live animals and they eat up those evil magicians sitting next to them. And Mansur al-Dawanikri falls unconscious. And after a while, when he becomes conscious, he begs to the Imam, you know, he seeks apology. And he begs to the Imam to bring all of these magicians alive. And Imam says, Hayhat. If the stick of Musa alayhi salam had brought back those magicians, then these magicians will also be brought back. You are never going to see them. Please say salawat. So all the mu'jizat and miracles of all the prophets of God were because of the help of the nur of our prophet in Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So now, when this is the kind of personality serving as Khalifa of Allah we are talking about, this is the kind of Khilafat we are talking about in the universe. Isn't it right? So we find that inshallah, some of the issues related to that I would inshallah mention in the upcoming majalis as well. So we find now Allah says, "Usjudu li Adama," do sajda towards Adam. فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ. So all the angels did the sajda except Iblis. أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Well, Iblis was never part of the angels to begin with. He is one of the jinns. He is the one who, Abba, he rejected. Wastakbara, showed arrogance. Wakana min al kafirin. Now some say the translation is that he became one of the kafirs. Whereas our Urufa say, no, not that he became. He was one of the kafirin. The angels they failed to discover the kufr of Iblis. Allah knew the kufr of Iblis from the beginning, and that the fact that he was munafiq, see, a munafiq is a person who is a Muslim and believer from the outside and a kafir and disbeliever from the inside. So Allah knew the kufr of Iblis, and Allah wanted the disbelief and kufr of Iblis to become obvious over the angels. So now the angels discovered after that long that Iblis is a kafir. Not that he now became a kafir, he was. That we were falling short to discover. That's the lack of knowledge and ma'rifat of the angels, that they failed short to discover the fact and haqiqat. Isn't it right? So we find that Iblis says to Allah that, "You asked me to do a sajda and I disobeyed. And you asked Adam not to eat from the fruit of the tree and he disobeyed. So I did a sin and he did a sin. So we are both equal." What this evil person, Iblis, fails to understand, that Adam was a mukhlis whereas you were a munafiq. This is what he fails to understand. Isn't it right? Even the sins although it is not a sin, isn't it? But even the sins of mukhlisin are easily forgiven, isn't it right? But not for the munafiqeen, although it was never a sin, because our prophets never do the sins. It was tarkul awla, something that was better to be avoided. Asa adamu rabbahu faghawa. Asa adamu rabbahu faghawa. Adam did the sin towards his Lord, in other words, and got misguided. In other words, this the word ghawa doesn't mean, first of all, it's not a sin like I said. It's tarkul awla. Second of all, the ghawa doesn't mean misguided. Ghawa means khawa. That means he lost that benefit. He could not get that benefit. So we understand that as long as we, the believers, the mu'mineen, are walking on the footsteps of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, as long as we are holding the awamir and nawahi, the do's and do nots of the sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, we are mahbub and beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When do we lose the status of being mahbub and beloved in the eyes of Allah? When we start doing the zulm. As soon as a mu'min starts doing the zulm, that's where we lose the status of love. And now, what is zulm? There are three zulms in the light of the Holy Quran. Three things are considered to be zulm. Either zulm towards Allah, which is shirk. Inna shirka la zulmun azeem. Certainly shirk is associating partner, is a great oppression, great zulm, Quran says. Isn't it right? The second zulm is the fact that we do zulm towards our own selves. When we don't believe in Allah, when we misbehave towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are actually doing وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّى, Quran says, وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّى حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Whoever violates the hudud and the limits and bounds of Allah has certainly did the zulm on himself. We can't do zulm, you know, we are not doing zulm on anyone else but our own selves in the real sense. We are harming our own selves. That's the second zulm. And the third zulm is violating the rights of others and doing zulm on others in the community. So all the three zulms need to be avoided. And Quran is clear when it comes to zulm. Wallahu yuhibbu dhalimeen. Wallahu la yuhibbu dhalimeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love the zalimeen. So when we do the zulm, as soon as we do the zulm, we are no longer mahbub in the eyes of Allah. Wallahu la yuhibbu dhalimeen. And Allah says also in the Holy Quran when it comes to zulm that ala la'natullahi ala dhalimeen. Certainly, we learn in the light of the verse that the la'nat and curse of Allah is on the zalimeen. And we also learn in the light of the Holy Quran that whoever doesn't do the tawbah is also one of the zalimeen. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Whoever doesn't do the tawbah, they are the ones who are the zalim. And فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. So we find that also the Holy Quran says that Allah, Quran says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Whoever does not issue the hukum, give the verdict according to the hukum of Allah, he is also one of the zalimeen. Please say salawat. So we find that the zalimeen are all these people who are mentioned in the Holy Quran. Even like I said, those who didn't do the tawbah, when the Quran says, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. That's the ayat of Quran. So we need to avoid the zulm in all of these types. Giving the hukum in any matter, issuing a verdict in any matter. We are not even allowed to give judgments in Islam. Isn't it right? Qadabat and judgment is something in the sharia of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Only a mujtahid is allowed to be a qazi. A non-mujtahid cannot give judgments in the qada and do the qadabat.
So we find anyone who issues a hukum other than what has been revealed on the qalb of Rasulullah in the Sharia, anyone who gives the judgment other than what has been revealed in the wahi, he is one of the people who are zalimeen. So we are not even allowed to give a hukum and issue a verdict in a matter other than the hukum of the Sharia. So, and also the Holy Quran says from Surah As-Saffat, أُحْشُرُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَأَزْوَاجَهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا يَعْبُدُونَ. Gather the ones who, أُحْشُرُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, gather the ones who did the zulm, وَأَزْوَاجَهُمْ, and their counterparts. That means all the people who helped them, assisted them in any possible way. وَمَا كَانُوا يَعْبُدُونَ, and what they used to worship. So even you can pick up a paper clip and you put it on the table of a zalim, this is enough that you would be resurrected on the Day of Judgment along with that zalim. Even if you can think of a smaller example than that, that's enough for us to be resurrected with that zalim and tahut. If we provide any kind of help towards a zalim, you know. And in the time of Yahya al-Barmaki, there was a mu'min person who came into, he used to carve pens. In old days they used to make pens of wood. Isn't it right? This guy used to carve pens nicely. So he was brought into the court of Yahya al-Barmaki and he asked the person to make 3 pens for him. And he carved 3 pens, gave it to the ruler. As he was exiting the hall of his court, he returns back and he goes straight to the ruler, grabs the pens that he just carved from the hand of the ruler, breaks them into pieces, throws them away, and then he's now about to walk out. And the Yahya Barmaki, the ruler, said, "What happened? Why did you break the pens?" He said, "When I was exiting the hall of your court, as if someone recited this ayat of Quran into my mind, أُحْشُرُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَأَزْوَاجَهُمْ, gather the people who did the zulm and their counterparts, وَمَا كَانُوا يَعْبُدُونَ, and what they used to worship. So tomorrow, because I made the pens, and if you write something zulm through the pens, tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, I would also be resurrected along with you and your sins. I don't want to be resurrected with you." So he took the pens away and he broke and walked out of the court. Well, how many people have that kind of iman? Isn't it right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is adil and just, and He has His own principles. He's going to resurrect every person with the same category of people. Those who drink alcohol will be resurrected with the Ahlul Khamr. Those who are doing zina, Ahlul Zina will be resurrected with Ahlul Zina. Those who are gambling, Ahlul Qimar, will be resurrected with the Ahlul Qimar. Those who are stealing will be resurrected with the Sariqeen, with the thieves. Those who have the bughz of Ahlul Bayt. Any kind of sin, anyone who performs any kind of sin is bound to be resurrected according to the justice of God with the same category of people on the Day of Judgment. And those who are sympathizing, doing nothing at sitting homes, but sympathizing with the policies of Zalimeen, are bound to be resurrected with the same Zalimeen. Alhamdulillah on the justice of God. Everyone is supposed to be resurrected with the category of people they belong. They are carving their spirituality by adopting which policies towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obedience or sinning. So we find we are supposed to remain mahbub and beloved in the eyes of Allah by adapting ourselves to the awamir and nawahi, do's and do nots of the Sharia. That's the only prescription we have. We have no other prescription left behind by the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam except obeying the teachings of the Sharia, which are from the Quran and Ahlul Bayt's teachings. Isn't it right? This same Sharia. So we find that those who are mahbub, those who have some certain things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, Allah always guides them. If we have certain things, certain attributes. In the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, there was a kafir person worshipping Fir'aun for 600 years. And the madlis is about to come to the end very soon. So 600 years of worshipping Fir'aun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands his messenger Musa alayhi salam to go in Egypt to such and such place. And there's a servant of ours who is showing strange behavior. And basically, in other words, guide him and tolerate whatever hardships you may face in that way. Prophet Musa receives the command of Allah. He goes there, finds the person, and he asks him. And the person, as when he discovered that this is Musa, he started to use abusive language, bad-mouthing him. Prophet Musa tolerates because Allah has already commanded him to do so. But now he asks him, how many years you have been worshipping Fir'aun? He says 600 years. In old days people had long lives. That's all a very important, you know, discussion of Islam, why today we have shorter lives. But that's not the subject of my speech. So we find in the old days people had longer lives. So we find, and Hazrat Musa said to him that you have worshipped Fir'aun for 600 years. Worship Allah for, you know, if you worship Allah, He is going to provide you the ni'mat of both the worlds. And this guy, he had an impact upon his spirituality. This word of Prophet Musa had an impact on his soul. So he bent his head and the narration says he started to think. Didn't the Holy Prophet say, Tafakkuru sa'atin khairun min ibadati sab'ina sana. Thinking for a while is better than the worship of 70 years. There are so many people who are just piling up their ibadat and worships and they don't even know whether none of their salat or psalm or other worships are even accepted to begin with. Isn't it right? Piling up the worships on jahl is not going to take us nowhere. Yeah, it's better to discover sooner. Sab kuch log kehne nahi nahi pata hi na karo taaki mushkili mein na padhe. علماء کے پاس جانے کی ضرورت نہیں ہے جب تک علم نہیں آئے گا تب ہماری بچت رہے گی نہیں کوئی بچت وچت کسی کی نہیں ہے The حدیث says يقال للجاہل هلا علمت On the day of judgment it will be said to the ignorant Why didn't you learn? بچت تو کوئی نہ ہوئی يقال للعالم هلا عملت Then from a knowledgeable person who did not act on the knowledge after learning it, it would be said, why didn't you practice? For the jahil and ignorant person who failed to learn and seek knowledge, it would be said, why didn't you learn? So there is no excuse for nobody. Isn't it right? So we find that he bent his head and he started to think for a while. Tafakkuru sa'atin khairun min ibadati sab'ina sana. 70 years of worship are on one side. And thinking for a while is superior, Rasulullah says. Then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam say that kana aktharu ibadati Abi Dharr at-tafakkur. Majority of the worship of Abu Dharr was thinking. He did not say majority of the worship was reading Quran. Even the Khawarij were reading Quran. Isn't it right? Without tafakkur, without the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. So, thinking. So we correct our thought process, our ideologies, our beliefs, we have evidences, daleel. So we found our belief system not on taqleed of Dada, Abbu and Nani, Amma. But we found and base our beliefs on concrete, unshakable evidences to our youth can inspire others in the universities. Instead of having a vacuum in their soul and getting inspired from others and others filling the vacuum of our youth. Because the parents failed to teach them the Usuluddin with the daleel and evidence. Rasmo rewaj and customs and traditions can never make your children strong in their spirituality. What can make them strong in their spirituality is basing and founding their belief system on unshakable logical and narrated evidences. That's the wajib number one falling on the neck of my daughter and son reaching the age of Islamic maturity that he and she should prove the belief system with logical evidences. Wajib number one applying on the neck. Isn't it right? And we don't, like I always mention in my speeches, that we have abundance of evidences. So we find that he started to think. And then he said, okay, present the Islam, in other words, and he recites the kalima upon the teaching of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. And he performs one sajda. So we find that as soon as Fir'aun discovers that, He brings that guy into his palace and he orders a huge bowl with a burning oil inside it and commands the person to be thrown into that burning oil. This is the punishment of somebody who starts disobeying the Lord Fir'aun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his own arrangements. Every time Fir'aun is throwing him into the burning oil, Jibreel takes him away and brings him back to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. Every time Fir'aun throws him, Jibreel brings him back to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. And he says to Hazrat Musa, the body which has worshipped, the body that has worshipped Fir'aun deserves nothing but to be burnt in the oil. So let me burn there. And this time we find Hazrat Musa did not stop, you know, and we did not stop. So when he burned in the oil, Hazrat Musa started to cry. And Allah sent his wahi to Prophet Musa, and he looked up after the wahi, and he saw that person sitting happy inside the paradise, getting benefited from the blessings of Allah, and that's what made Hazrat Musa happy after looking that. So we look towards the material aspects of things and we ignore the metaphysical aspects of the things. Isn't it right? So we find that we continue to be mahbub of Allah and the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt as long as we are following their footsteps. Just like we find that Habib ibn Mudahir was mahbub and beloved in the eyes of Rasulullah. So much beloved that when his great father Hazrat Mudahir alayhi salam, he brings his great son Habib, and he was a young boy at that time, to the ziyarat of Rasulullah, and Prophet sees that this son Habib, this boy is walking behind Hussein and picking up the soil from the under the feet of Imam Mazlum Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam and putting the soil over his head. Prophet couldn't help. He has to show and his love and affection towards Habib. So Habib ibn Mazahir, Peygamber Akram ke mehboob hain. Rasulullah ki nigaah mein mehboob hain. Badi mohabbat thi Rasulullah ko Habib ibn Mazahir se. Aur honi bhi chahiye. Unka daraja itna hi buland hai ki unse mohabbat honi bhi chahiye. Lehaza. ہمارے عرفا یہ کہتے ہیں کہ سارے کے سارے اصحاب امام سید الشہداء کے عظیم ہیں مگر حبیب ابن مظاہر کا رتبہ بہت بلند ہے اصحاب امام حسین کے بھی تو درجات ہیں صالحین میں بھی درجات ہوتے ہیں شہداء کے بھی درجات ہوتے ہیں صدیقین میں بھی درجات ہوتے ہیں انبیاء میں بھی درجات ہوتے ہیں اصحاب حسین کے بھی درجات ہیں ہڑ کا رتبہ بہت عظیم ہے مگر جہاں حبیب ابن مظاہر کی عظمت آتی ہے تو کہاں حبیب اور کہاں ہڑ ہڑ جو کہ طاغوت کے ہاں نوکری کر رہا تھا اور مولا کے حضور میں آ کے بھیک مانگی ہے اپنی مغفرت کی اور وہ حبیب جن کی پوری زندگی حب حسین میں گزری اور طاغوت کے ساتھ دل میں ایک لہجے کے لیے بھی حمایت نہیں کی کیا مقابلہ حبیب ابن مظاہر کی عظمت کا کسی کے ساتھ اصحاب امام حسین کے بھی درجات ہیں ہمارے عرفا نے بیان کیا تو حبیب بہت عظیم ہستی کا نام ہے کتنے عظیم ہیں کہ بعض علماء نقلیہ کہ وہ واحد شخص ہیں جن کو میرے مولا نے خط لکھ کے بلایا حسین ابن علی اللہ کے مظہر اللہ کے تمام اسماء بشمول الصمد اور بے نیاز کے مظہر ہیں حسین کو ضرورت نہیں ہے حبیب ابن مظاہر کی حبیب ابن مظاہر محتاج ہے حسین کے یہ حسین ابن علی کا احسان ہے حبیب پہ کہ ان کو خط لکھ کے بلا رہے ہیں یہ امام حسین کا احسان ہے حبیب پہ نانچہ من الحسین ابن علی الى الرجل الفقیح حبیب ابن مظاہر حسین فرزند علی کی طرف سے حبیب فرزند مظاہر کے نام جو کہ مرد فقیح ہے کیا شان ہے حبیب ابن مظاہر کی مولا نے خط لکھا مولا نے خط لکھا اب حبیب ابن مظاہر کے پاس قاصد خط لے کے آتا ہے خوش ہو گئے حبیب اپنے مولا کا خط دے کے خوش ہو گئے چنانچہ مولا نے لکھا اپنے خط میں کہ ہم نرغہ آدھا میں گھر گئے ہیں میرے مولا نرغہ آدھا میں گھر گئے ہیں وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ قَرَابَتِ مِن رَسُولِ اللَّهِ اور تم ہماری قرابت اور عزیزداری رسول اللہ کی نسبت جانتے ہو کتنی قرابت ہے نا امام حسین کی, کیا رتبہ ہے رسول کی نگاہ میں کہ جب بچپنے میں پیغمبر اکرم کی پشت پہ آ جاتے ہیں سجدے کے دوران اور پیغمبر اٹھنے والے تھے تو اللہ نے جبرائیل کو بھیجا کہ آپ اس وقت تک سر نہ اٹھائیں جب تک حسین خود نہ اتر آئیں. چنانچہ 70 مرتبہ رسول نے دہرایا سبحان ربی الاعلی و بحمدہ سبحان ربی الاعلی و بحمدہ جب تک حسین خود نہ اتر آئے. کتنے قرابت ہے نا رسول کے ساتھ, کتنے محبوب ہیں اللہ کی نگاہ میں. سنت رسول بن گئی قیامت تک کے سجدے میں 70 مرتبہ پڑھا جا سکتا ہے, مستحب ہے. کیا قرابت ہے کہ اب روزے عید جب ادھر حسن و حسین سوار ہیں پیغمبر کے شانوں پہ اور پوچھنے کہنے والے نے کہا کہ کتنی اچھی سواری ہے جس پہ یہ مرکب کتنا اچھا ہے, تو پیغمبر نے فرمایا کہ یہ بھی تو کہو کہ سوار کتنے اچھے ہیں. کیا عظمت, کیا عظمت اور کیا رتبہ ہے میرے مولا امام حسن و حسین کا. چنانچہ مولا لکھتے ہیں خط میں وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ قَرَابَتِي مِن رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, تم میری قرابت رسول اللہ کی نسبت جانتے ہو, اگر آ سکتے ہو تو آ جاؤ. حبیب گھر میں عارض ہوتے ہیں, زوجہ اور ایک مومنہ خاتون پوچھتی ہے کس کا خط آیا ہے, کہا میرے مولا نے خط بھیجا ہے. زوجہ تڑپ گئی, کہا کیا لکھا ہے میرے مولا نے, کہا لکھا ہے کہ ہم نرغہ آدھا میں گھر گئے ہیں اور تم ہماری قرابت رسول اللہ کی نسبت جانتے ہو, اگر آ سکتے ہو تو آ جاؤ. کہا پھر کیا فیصلہ کیا, کہا میں تو یہ سوچتا ہوں کہ تمہارا کیا ہوگا. وہ مومنہ کہتی ہے اب بعض روایتوں میں کہ اس نے اپنی چادر اٹھا کے حبیب کی طرف پھینکی کہ فرزند فاطمہ تمہیں مدد کے لیے بلا رہا ہے اور تم میری فکر کر رہی ہو, اگر تم حسین کی مدد کو نہ گئے تو میں اپنے مولا کی مدد پہ جاؤں گی. چنانچہ حبیب جواب دیتے ہیں کہ میں تو تمہارا امتحان لے رہا تھا, ارے یہ کیوں کر ممکن ہے میرے مولا مجھے بلائے اور میں ان کی مدد کو نہ جاؤں. حبیب تو محبوب ہے نا رسول اللہ کی نگاہ میں. چنانچہ غلام کو روانہ کیا فلا مقام پہ گھوڑا لے کے پہنچ جائے اور وہاں انتظار کرے. اب جو حبیب کے پہنچنے میں تاخیر ہوئی, حبیب ایک مرتبہ روایت میں ذکر ہے کہ ایک شخص کی دکان پہ بیٹھے ہوئے تھے جو خضاب بیچتا ہے اور اس نے کہا کہ آپ ایک خضاب خرید لیجئے, سفید ریش ہے حبیب کی. کہا میں چاہتا ہوں کہ اپنی ریش پہ ایسا خضاب لگاؤں جو کبھی بھی نہ اترنے پائے, یعنی خون کا خضاب میری ہے میری ریچھ میں لگے جو اس کا رنگ کبھی بھی نہ اترنے پائے. اب جو حجیب کے حبیب کے پہنچنے میں تھوڑی سی تاخیر ہوئی تو دیکھا, بعض علماء نے یہ نقل کیا ہے کہ غلام اب اسب وفادار حبیب کے اس گھوڑے سے گفتگو کر رہا ہے کہ اگر میرا آقا تم پہ سوار ہونے کے لیے نہیں آیا تو میں خود تم پہ سوار ہو کے جاؤں گا مولا حسین پہ جان قربان کرنے کے لیے. یہ سنا تو ایک مرتبہ تڑپ گئے. حبیب کہتے ہیں مولا آپ کتنے مظلوم ہیں کہ غلام بھی آپ پہ جان نثار کرنے کے لیے آمادہ ہے. کہا میں نے تجھے راہ خدا میں آزاد کیا. غلام کہتا ہے نہیں یہ تو انصاف نہیں ہوا, ارے جب تک میں آپ کی خدمت میں رہا تو آپ نے مجھے رکھا, اب جو مولا کی خدمت میں جا رہے ہیں تو مجھے آزاد کر رہے ہیں, میں بھی آپ کے ہمراہ جاؤں گا تاکہ اپنی جان کو قربان کر سکوں مولا پہ. اب حبیب روانہ ہوتے ہیں, ادھر کربلا میں میرے مولا رایات تقسیم کر رہے ہیں, پرچم دیے جا رہے ہیں, مختلف اصحاب کو پرچم دیا جا رہا ہے, یہاں تک کہ ایک پرچم کو مولا نے کسی کے حوالے نہیں کیا. اب جب پوچھنے والے نے پوچھا کہ مولا یہ والا پرچم آپ نے کسی کو نہیں دیا تو فرمایا اس پرچم کا حقدار ابھی آنے والا ہے. اب کوفے کی سم سے گرد و غبار نمودار ہوئی, حبیب ابن مظاہر تشریف لا رہے ہیں, شہزادی زینب سب نے بڑھ کے اب اصحاب نے بڑھ کے استقبال کیا حبیب ابن مظاہر کا. شہزادی زینب کو خبر ملی, فضا کو بھیجا, ظاہر ہے کہ میری شہزادی کو ابھی تک یہی خبریں ملی نا, اب عمر ابن سعد کا لشکر آ گیا, اب فلا لشکر بھی آ گیا. اب جو شہزادی نے فضا کو بھیجا, فضا نے آ کے بتایا مولا کے بچپن کا جانثار حبیب ابن مظاہر آئے ہیں. ایک مرتبہ میری شہزادی نے کہا جا کے حبیب کو میرا سلام کہنا. روایت میں ہے کہ جب فضا نے جا کے سلام پہنچایا نا تو حبیب ابن مظاہر خاک کربلا پہ بیٹھ گئے, خاک کربلا پہ بیٹھ گئے اور خاک کربلا کو اٹھا کے اپنے سر پہ ڈالنا شروع کیا. ارے مولا آپ کیسے مظلوم ہیں, ارے آج ارے غلاموں کو شہزادی سلام بھیج رہی ہے.
الا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها. پڑھ رہا پرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما, پرچم کفر و شرک و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما, انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما. تمام علماء ربانیین, تمام مراجع کرام, بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پہ برقرار. تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما. تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما. تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما. تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما. تمام مومنین جو بیمار ہیں بحق بیمار کربلا شفاء کامل و عاجل عنایت فرما. بانی مجلس کی اس عبادت کو قبول فرما, ان کے مرحومین کی مغفرت فرما, ان کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما. ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائیں. ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما, ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم بجاہ محمد و آلہ الطاہرین یا حسین.
Y'all say, 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 y'